If the police arrest someone, we say they nailed him. And the Olympic gymnasts nail their routine. Hitting the nail on the head means to be spot on, getting to the heart of the matter. However, the first use of that expression was in a religious context. It was in the 15th century in a book about a religious visionary. There, hitting the nail on the head seems to mean to speak so accurately as to be painful to the one spoken to. It's this use that applies to our text. Jesus reveals our problem and the solution so clearly that the point is sharply driven home like a well-struck nail. Our problem is that we are nailed to the things of this life. That's what St. Chrysostom concluded in a sermon on our text. He says, the Lord says here, don't be nailed to the things of this life. The crowd sure was. Rather than focusing on what the miraculous sign of feeding the 5,000 pointed to, they focused on the food. Rather than grab on to the words of eternal life that came out of Jesus' mouth, they focused on the food that came from his hands. They really were no different than the general population of Rome at that time. The general population of Rome was happy as long as the government provided bread and entertainment. Do you think you're really so different? Aren't you nailed to this life? I know I am. I criticize the churches that set out to meet people's felt needs, be it childcare, youth programs, marriage classes, English as a second language courses. Yet, my felt needs, all of them earthly, are what I focus on. I think of taxes, aging, retiring, ailing, buying, selling. All these cares, all this focus, is no different than the crowds following Jesus because he fed them. The only way I differ from them is that I am so well fed that my belly does not grumble regularly like theirs did. In the end, both the crowds and I are firmly nailed to the things of this life. How about you? If you, as I am, are nailed to the passing, perishing things of this life, it's because you didn't understand the feeding of the 5,000 either. I know, that's ridiculous. What's to misunderstand? Jesus took 5 loaves and 2 fish and fed thousands. It was a miracle. What more is there to it than that? Plenty. The crowd misunderstood it. They didn't see it was a means to teach them something more important. Jesus says they didn't regard it as a miraculous sign pointing to something, anything other than earthly bread. They missed the sign so badly that they think Moses was a bigger deal for providing manna in the wilderness than Jesus was for feeding thousands. But the crowds and we are in good company. Mark 8 records Jesus' frustration with the apostles for missing the real point. Jesus says there, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000? How many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? 12, they replied. Jesus said to them, do you still not understand? Driving through Kansas in the early 80s, there was a sign in the middle of hundreds of acres of wheat. It read, this Kansas farmer feeds 256 people and you. I don't know if that was true, but I do know the Lord Jesus Christ feeds 7 billion people and you. He keeps the heart beating of 7 billion people and you. He fills the lungs of 7 billion people and you. The hands of Jesus can feed thousands with what could barely feed a small boy. All our fretting and focusing on earthly things does absolutely nothing. Our caring, worrying, and considering can't feed, provide, protect, or help. Even worse, it nails us so firmly to the things of this world that we miss the next. Or as in this text, we miss the Lord of the next. In Genesis Bible class, we heard how Esau, nailed to the things of this life, profaned his birthright by selling it for a bowl of lentils. In Revelation Bible class, we're hearing how the seven churches are encouraged to endure the sufferings of this life so as not to miss the next. In Galatians Bible class, we hear how there are those who would attach the promises of the next life to doing certain works in this life. My point is that all of Scripture warns you about the danger of being nailed to the things of this life. In our text, Jesus wants to pry us loose. First, Jesus rebukes us for focusing on food that spoils. All of earthly things we're nailed to are no different than the manna Israel was given. Remember how if they tried to store it, to save it, it only rotted overnight? So goes all the earthly things we try to depend on. But Jesus does want us thinking about these earthly things here. He wants us thinking about the appetite we have for food, for life, for living. Because Jesus is going to use these earthly things to speak of heavenly things. The empty, aching need we have, we feel, we long to have satisfied and wrongly tried to with earthly things, can never be satisfied with the things of earth. Be it food, money, power, sex, possession, prestige, all of these earthly things will only pass away, and so will all those nailed to them. There is, however, a food that endures to eternal life. There is something we can satisfy this empty, aching need with. And it's not a thing, but a person. Not just a man, but God in flesh and blood. Not the man who filled your belly with bread, but the man who is the bread of God. Can you feel some of the nails popping free? Can you see some of the things you're nailed to for what they really are? Passing, spoiling, decaying, temporal things? This hunger, this wanting, this longing you have can only be filled by God. And He's yours for the believing. He says, don't work for the food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Then they ask Him, what must we do? What must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is that you believe on the one whom He sent. Did you hear the prominence of the word work in our text? Jesus says, don't work for food that spoils. The crowd asks, what must we do to do the works of God? Jesus says, the work of God is that you believe on Him. The crowd then asks, what work will you do that we might believe on you? But all of this work, work, work comes down to Jesus saying, my Father gives you the true bread from heaven, and I am that bread of life. Leaves you kind of flat, doesn't it? Just about had you pop free from being nailed to perishing things in this life. And then I tell you the climax is that Jesus is the bread of God, the bread of life. We're going to see that this disappointed the crowds too. Then the majority of His disciples stopped following Jesus after this. Their hunger was not satisfied by Jesus. It was for the apostles. They stayed. How about you? Yes, yes, I know you're nailed to the things of this life. But Jesus would pry you loose today by showing you Himself nailed to a cross. This is the full picture Jesus puts before us. Jesus tells us that God the Father has put His seal of approval on Him. Earlier, John had identified Jesus as a Lamb of God that carries away the sins of the world. Sacrificial lambs were always sealed, certified to be blemish-free before they were sacrificed. So Jesus is certified, sealed by the Father. Remember? He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. The Father had nothing but good feelings, nothing but delighted feelings, nothing but happy feelings toward Jesus. But the Son is sealed as a sacrificial victim in place of the sinful world. That means all God's good feelings were placed on the world, and all His wrathful ones were placed on His Son, the Lamb of God, carrying the world's sins. For Jesus' sake, That means God, that means God smiles upon you. That means God is happy with you. That means God is content with you. For Jesus' sake, God does not remember, let alone care, about anything you've ever done wrong. For Jesus' sake, because of His blood and holiness, God can't find one of your sins, one of your failings, one of your shames. But all this is for Jesus' sake. Know Jesus means God does see and does judge all your sins. Know Jesus means God does see and God does judge all your failings. Know Jesus means God does see and God does judge all your shames right now and forever. Get Jesus, get forgiveness. Well, then how does one get Jesus? Based on our text, we say, get God's bread and you got Jesus. He's the bread God sent down from heaven to sop up the mess of our sins. He's the bread that constantly gives life to the world. That's what Jesus says. The bread of God is He who comes down from heaven giving life to the world. From the word He teaches in Bible classes to the word He preaches here, life is constantly being given out to the dead world and to sinners dead in their trespasses and sins. From that baptismal font constantly flows a life-giving water rich in grace. On this altar, the bread of life comes to constantly feed, forgive, and free the fallen children of men. What are you waiting for? Why aren't you reveling in His words? Why aren't you wallowing in His waters? Why aren't you eating and drinking life? I know why. Because the blinders haven't come all the way off yet. We must transition from Jesus being God's bread to Jesus being God Himself. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. This is the first time Jesus claims the Old Testament name of God, Jehovah. I am that I am for Himself. Jesus is going to go on in the Gospel of John to proclaim, I am the light, I am the door, I am the good shepherd, I am the resurrection, I am the life, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the vine. Jesus culminates all these I am revelations in Gethsemane, right before He allows Himself to be arrested and led off to suffer brutal torturing by men under God's eternal wrath. Jesus says simply to His captors, I am. And the declaration that He is Jehovah, at that declaration, all of His captors, all of His enemies fall down helpless. This shows that Jesus is Jehovah in flesh and blood. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who put Noah in the ark and met Moses on Sinai, willingly gave His life as a sacrifice for the sins of the world, for your sins. And now, He gives His body for bread to be eaten. To be eaten with the ears in Bible classes and sermons, to be eaten with the body in baptism, and to be eaten with the mouth at this table. Our text is the first I am proclamation. The one holy true God is here. He's here to give Himself up to be nailed to a cross so that His body might be eternal, life-giving bread for sinners to feed them. And to free them from being nailed to the things of this life that can only spoil and perish. Amen. Now the peace of God which passes all human understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.